This is the B-side of the lecture for November 1996, titled Hosea for the Modern World. We find in the first chapter of Hosea the theme that is set up for this prophecy, in the fact that God ordered Hosea to marry a wife of whoredoms and to have three children with specific names to explain what God was going to do in judgment against the nation of Israel. The principal thing that was going to be done was that they were going to be scattered into all nations of the world. The firstborn son was called Jezreel, which means to scatter seed, to scatter them in the world. And we're going to find that that's exactly what God was prophesying, and that's exactly what happened to them. Once they would be in the world, once they would find themselves well away from the land of Israel and from the plenty that they had before, then Israel would begin to repent of the ways that she had been doing and come back to her senses. And God says he will lead her back and marry her again, which is most interesting. In fact, she herself, as it says in chapter 2 in verse 7, once she finds herself in the condition of being way out into the wilderness and without food and without raiment, and she went after her lovers, but they would not give her anything, she says, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. But she did not know that I was the one who gave her the corn, the wine, the oil. I multiplied her silver and gold. And what did they do? Now I'm adding this here. They prepared it for Baal. That is what they did. God blessed Israel tremendously, and then Israel turns around and does the ways of the Gentiles. And you know, when we look at our society today, and there is a relevance to it, we find that our Christianity is just filled with the teachings of Balaam. You know, the teachings of the solstices and astrology and things of that nature, and we call it Christianity. Going on here, he says, verse 10, I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. And I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines, her fig trees. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, that is, that she was keeping, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Lord. However, it goes on to say that he is going to take her from the land of Israel and take her into the wilderness, and take her into an area where she will have none of those things. And once she gets there, God says he will begin to deal with her, and she will want to return to her first husband. And in actual fact, in chapter 3, we find, chapter 2 here and chapter 3, that God will, believe it or not, take her back. Now, when I say believe it or not, you might wonder, why should I make a statement like that? Because you know that it is actually against the laws of Moses for a person who marries an individual and then divorces her, as he says here, you are not my people, for that woman, if she then carries on with her lovers, and she wants to come back to her first husband, you ought to read Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. It's absolutely forbidden. But in this case, God has a right to change even his own laws, if he wishes to, in regard to Israel, because he loves her so much. He is actually going to take the woman back. But she's going to have to go through a lot of trouble, a lot of turmoil. She's going to have to experience the day of Jezreel, which means a sowing into the land called the world, the whole earth, just not in Israel, but the whole earth. Going on in verse 22, it says, and the earth shall hear the corn, the wine, the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. They'll hear the sowing that's going on. And I will sow her, Israel, unto me in the earth. In all the earth. Now, once they get into that position, that's when he says, I will then give her mercy, but not until she finds herself in the extremities of the earth. Now, let's go to chapter 9 and verse 17, because this theme just carries right on. It's just one after another of these teachings here, the A part, then the B. The A part and the B. The A is judgment, the B is mercy. The A is judgment again, and then the B is mercy. We keep coming through that theme, and we find that the sowing, the scattering, is the major judgment that Hosea is talking about here. Look at chapter 9 and verse 17. We have this: My God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. That's what the scattering will do. Later on, however, they're going to come back, as we see, but not until they have experienced outside the land of Israel what the Gentiles can really bring to them. They are going to be scattered as wanderers. I want you to notice that. They're not going to be mighty nations, like some people have thought that the lost 10 tribes would be. You know, these are the nations of Israel. These are the 10 tribes that are being talked about here. And they're not going to be mighty nations out in the world, powerful, full of authority and all of that. They are going to be wanderers amongst the nations. And by the way, this theme, as I said before, is taken up in Amos, the very next book. Turn with me to Amos chapter 9. In actual fact, you almost have to look at the next book to understand what Hosea was talking about. Hosea establishes the theme. We find then that Amos and the others carry it out. In chapter 9 of the book of Amos, and verse 9, it speaks of the same type of thing that God was prophesying through Hosea. Notice it here. For lo, I will command, and I will sift, or sow, the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the ground. That means to germinate there, where they will want to stay there in that land. That's what it means. They're going to be scattered into all nations, wanderers in all nations. And you see here how the theme is continuing about like scattering wheat or barley, the Jezreel and all of that. That is where the theme is established. And by the way, this carries right on because we find in Zechariah, which is the next to the last book, near the end of the age that we're coming into right now, it speaks about Ephraim and how it has been sown among the nations. And it says this in chapter 10 in Zechariah and all the way down here to verse 9. I will sow them among the people, and they will remember me in far countries, where and they shall live with their children and turn again to me. But not until they're sent into the far countries. Notice how even in Zechariah says, I will sow them. It's like a farmer sowing seed. And this theme is continuing. We find it in the New Testament, as a matter of fact. There was a word used in New Testament times, in the Greek, which designated these people who were scattered into the nations of the world. It was called the diaspora. Dia, in Greek, is a preposition. It means through. Spora. Spora, seed. You see it? Spore, seed. It means scattering seed through the lands of the earth, making the seed wander from place to place, not gathering root, but going from place to place into all nations of the world. That's where God was going to take them. And again, I emphasize, they were not to congregate in certain areas of the world which were beautiful and lovely like the United States of America or like Great Britain or places like that and destined to become great and mighty nations. Oh, no. They were to be wanderers in the world. And you go back to Deuteronomy and also Leviticus and the prophecies back there given in the time of Moses. It says that they were going to be scattered into the world, into all areas of the world. And I'll tell you this, the people who would be there, finally, they would become the people of God. They would finally wake up and want to come back to Israel. They will want to return to their first husband. And in this Zechariah prophecy here, it actually says from chapter 9, 10, and 11, all through 12, 13, and 14, how that Ephraim and Judah will come back together as one group, and they will be in the land of Canaan, over there in Palestine, not in Great Britain, not in the United States. It's right there in Palestine. In fact, when these people who are sown throughout the earth do come back, it says in verse 10 of Zechariah 10, I will bring them again out of the land of Egypt, not the United States of America, but out of Egypt. I will gather them out of Assyria, not out of Great Britain, but out of Assyria. and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place them, and there shall not be a place found for them. Gilead, by the way, is on the east side of Jordan. They're actually going to come back and settle there. They're also going to be in Lebanon and places of that nature. All in the prophecies here. And this was understood by the apostles. Do you know, if you'll turn with me to James, who was the leader of the ecclesia at Jerusalem, he wrote a letter, which is in our New Testament, and you know it very well. And you know what his theme was when he wrote this letter? To whom was he writing it? Well, here we have it right here in the scripture. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. See the word scattered? It means like seeds in the diaspora. Scattered, dispersed throughout the lands. And that's exactly where those 12 tribes were, including Judah and the nations of Israel. They were scattered, even in the time of James. James wrote this about 60 A.D., just after, at the very heyday of Christianity in the first century. The Apostle Paul was around at the time. Peter was around at the time. Here is James writing from Jerusalem. And to whom does he write? He writes to everyone in those five chapters of his, and they're meeting in synagogues, he says. They are doing the various things that most of us would think that so-called Jewish people would do. The reason they're called Jews primarily is because Jerusalem itself was in Judah, and it became the capital city that all wanted to go back to. And so these northern Israelites, even many of them became known as Jews, simply because of their attachment to the land of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. And here we find James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They are the ones who were taken out of the land of Palestine in a day of Jezreel, you see, in a day of sowing. And who was the one who introduced all of this? It was our prophet, the very one that we're talking about today, Hosea. And it was lasting on down into the time of the apostles. They were still in the dispersion. They had not been congregated to come back to the land of Israel yet. So James is writing his letter here to the 12 tribes that are in the dispersion, that are scattered, just like Hosea and Amos and Zechariah said they would be. But that doesn't end it. If you'll turn to the next book in the New Testament, you will find that is Peter's writing. And what does he say? He also writes to these people. He doesn't write to all 12 tribes. He writes to a group of them, however, which are in Galatia, Pontus, Cappadocia, Asia, that means the province of Asia, and also Bithynia. And you know what he says these people are? Well, look at it here in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered, that is, in the diaspora, scattered as seeds, just exactly as Hosea said. Here is the Jezreel punishment upon them. The Jezreel punishment from the area of Armageddon. They were to be taken out of the land of Israel, and they were to be scattered into all nations of the world. And here is James writing to all 12 tribes, while Peter is not going to all of them, but only to those in the area of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And he knew these people. In actual fact, it says that he actually went up there and talked to them on occasion. So these people were outside of Palestine, you see, but they were very much in existence. And the people knew where the 12 tribes were. They were all scattered throughout the whole of the Roman Empire at the time, over into India and to China. People were even as far afield as that in the first century A.D. And what has happened since that time? Once Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D., the Jews were themselves scattered. You know, I mean the people in and around Israel, as well as the others who always wanted to be connected with Judah and Jerusalem. It wasn't until 1948 that they were able to come back and start a nation once again in the land of Canaan, which is called Israel today. That nation right there that exists is a prologue to the fulfillment of these prophecies that we find here in the book of Hosea dealing with modern times. Because you remember, the A part of the prophecy is judgment. The B part of the prophecy is mercy. The A part of the prophecy is scattering. The B part of the prophecy is bringing back together. The A part of the prophecy is sending them into all the world. The B part of the prophecy is to bring them back and establish them in the land of Israel. We find that theme throughout Hosea. We find it through Amos. We find it through Zechariah. So here is James writing to the 12 tribes in the diaspora, the scattering, the Jezreel that Hosea was talking about. Here's the Apostle Peter using the same term, the scattering, in the dispersion. And they knew where these people were. The Apostle Paul, when he was being tried before Felix, right there in Caesarea in Palestine. We find this in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. These Israelites, though they were scattered and throughout the world, and they were not a nation, they did not have a king, they did not have all of the things that they had had before when they were faithful to God in the land of Palestine. But what happened was, because of their whoredoms, in the terminology that God uses, they're going away from the teachings of God, keeping their own days and things like that. They were sent out of the land. But people knew them. They weren't just lost. They may have been lost spiritually, but they weren't lost physically, because God knew where they were. They are a people, when they get out into the land, one of these days in the future, they are going to be my people, he says, once again. And I'm going to bring them back into the land of Gilead, into Lebanon, into Israel. That is where they're coming back to, and the prophecies make that quite clear. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 26, was being tried before Agrippa, the king of who was not even an Israelite, by the way. He was of Herod, who was Idumean. And we find Agrippa saying to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Here was the Apostle Paul actually being tried for his life in Caesarea. This is mentioned in Acts chapter 26 and verse 1. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself, King Agrippa, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews." That means the Jews in Palestine. "Especially because I know that you are an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech you to hear me patiently." Then Paul goes on, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews." They're very aware of it, he said. "Which know me from the beginning." They knew me from the beginning. "If they would but testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand in hope and am judged for the hope, for the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly," it means constantly serving God, "day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." What was that hope? That hope was redemption. That hope was a regathering. That hope was a re-covenant that God would make with them, who would marry them once again and bring them back into the land of Palestine and let them take root in that area once more, and to get them, garnish them from all over the areas of the world where they had been scattered. But isn't it interesting here in verse 7 that the Apostle Paul, our apostle, he was a very intelligent man. He understood the history of Israel very well. He was one who came from a university system and was one of the greatest of the people in Jerusalem at the time. He had great knowledge and understanding of where the Israelites were. He was talking here to King Agrippa, who also, Paul said, was a man who understood the customs. He was expert. And he says, "Unto which promise?" The promise of God. "Our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come." So the Apostle Paul is saying, though the 12 tribes were in the dispersion, though the 12 tribes were wandering in the various lands of the earth, they were still hoping, all of them, to come back to the promise and to inherit the promise that Hosea said in the B part that they would get. The A part was punishment, sending them forth into the nations of the world. And you know, most of them to this very day are still in the nations of the world. They have not all gone back to the Holy Land yet. In actual fact, in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, and also 8, 9, and 10 of that book of Zechariah, it gives a prophetic scenario in a chronological sequence that is describing events of today just about as clear as anyone could get. And it says that these northern tribes of Ephraim, which were a major part of the 12 tribes, were sent into areas of the world, and now they're going to be brought back, however, to the land of Palestine. When we look at Israel today, since 1948, many have gone back. There are well over 5 million Jews, or Israelites, shall we say, now living in the land of Canaan, and they call it Israel. We see it on the news every day, and we're well aware of that. But there are still many more people who are of the tribes of Israel scattered in almost every nation of this world, almost every nation, and they have their businesses there, they have their existence there, they go to school there, they have their livings there, and many of them want to support Israel. That's quite true. But where do you find them? Scattered throughout the world. Everywhere you go in the world, you will find today people who are going to synagogues. In almost every major city, which is the most interesting thing. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Hosea is coming to pass. It has come to pass to a T. He says there's going to be a great day of Jezreel. I'm going to scatter them throughout the whole of the world, all of the world, and they are going to be as wanderers. They're not going to put down roots. Not really. They'll stay from generation to generation, but their heart is going to be back in the Holy Land. They will want to go back to Jerusalem. They will want to go back to the land of Canaan. And when they find themselves out into the extremities of the world, let's go back to Hosea here. It says, at the end of the age, in the latter days, God is going to bring them to their senses. And they are going to accept him this time as a proper husband. And he is going to take them back, and he's going to call them my wife, and they will call him my husband. A remarriage is going to take place, contrary to the law of God, as a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 24. But in this case, God is the one who makes the laws. He's the one who decides what to do. And in this case, he's going to bring back the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, scattered into all of the earth. Jezreel is going to find a conclusion. And I'll tell you where the conclusion will finally be. Isn't it interesting in the book of Revelation that it was from the area of Jezreel, the valley of Esdraelon in northern Israel, where the city of Megiddo was? That is the mountain of Megiddo, Armageddon. And isn't it interesting that the final battle, or the final gathering for the battle, to come to Jerusalem and all of that at the very end of the age, where do the armies congregate? They congregate in the valley of Jezreel. This sowing is going to actually now come back, and all focus of Israel and Judah and all the rest of the nations will be upon the land of Palestine. And the armies are going to gather, believe it or not, as it says, in the valley of Esdraelon, which is just a takeoff from the name Jezreel. This is a time in the near future when this scattering of Israel will be thwarted and they will begin to go back en masse to Israel. They're going to go back even into the land of Gilead and Lebanon and places of that nature. And we're just beginning to see the start of that right now. Since 1948, we have had the nation of Israel, as I said before. But the prophecies of Hosea here have not yet seen their completion. You have to read those 14 chapters, and I'll tell you, when you do altogether, remember, he sent them away from the land of Israel for their unfaithfulness. But he said, when I get them to the extremities of the world, at a time in the future, I'm going to call them back and call them my people. And they are going to come back to this land here. They're going to marry me once more, and they are going to be faithful to me, and I'm going to be faithful to them. That is known as the covenant relationship, renewed, or as we call it, the new covenant. A new covenant will I make, a new marriage agreement will I make with Israel. And that is what the whole of the book of Hosea is about. It starts out with the A part, that is, Jezreel, the scattering. Then it has the B part. Coming up consistently, you have A, then B, then A, then B, then A, then B. The last part, though, is B, because the final, read it here in the chapter 14 of the book of Hosea. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily. Now, not as just the scattering of the seeds, but look, he's going to grow as the lily with the roots in the ground of Israel. Cast forth his roots as Lebanon, as the great fir trees of Lebanon. They're going to put their roots down in the ground. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, you know, firmly anchored to the soil of Israel, and his smell as Lebanon. They shall dwell under his shadow, God's shadow, his wings, and they shall return. They shall revive as the corn, grow up as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, that is these northern peoples, the ones that were in Jezreel scattered. Ephraim will say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is fruit found. Who is wise? He shall understand these things and be prudent and know the ways of the Lord. Ephraim is soon to give up the idols. Ephraim is soon to be rescued from the Jezreel. Ephraim and Judah are soon to be reestablished in covenant relationship with God. That is what Hosea says for our modern times. This concludes the B part of the lecture for November 1996, titled Hosea for the Modern World.